to the hope that we profess. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. If let us draw near to God is about devotion, let us hold unswervingly to the hope is about determination. It's about commitment. It's about discipline. Whenever you see all these athletes on TV, they don't get there without actually all the hard yards, all the stuff that nobody sees in the training camps. And I picked up, not sure where and not sure how, a few years ago, Marcus Aurelius, one of the Caesars. The secret of all victory lies in the organization of the non-obvious. Think about that. The secret of all victory lies in the organization of the non-obvious. Now, the challenge to me in that verse, Gordy, it's the stuff that nobody sees that's actually most important. It's about your personal time with God. It's about devotion. It's about the inner disciplines, those means of grace. So for us, personally, the first two let us are about worship. Let us draw near to God with glad and sincere hearts, having our hearts sprinkled, washed clean, knowing that forgiveness, and then holding unswervingly to this hope that's placed within us. Why? Well, for he who promised is faithful, and we hold on to him. Let us draw near to God. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. The next three let us are about fellowship. It's about being together corporately. Let us spur one another on towards love and good deeds. You see the action that's there? Let us spur one another on to love and good deeds. How does that happen? Very often it happens by example. And consider how we may spur one another on. It's about stirring up. In the Greek, it's about irritation almost. That somebody just gets under your skin to give you that wee jolt to move you along. But that we, with each other, spur one another on towards love and action, good deeds, serving together. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. In the writer to the Hebrews, writing to Jewish people who were maybe beginning to drift from church and go back more to the synagogue and to the old ways, that was the picture there. But the challenge for us is to not give up meeting together, about caring for each other in community, about the great big enormous turnip, whether you're the mouse or the little old lady or the little old man, that you work together. Let us encourage one another, because we are the body of Christ. Each one of us is a part of it. So let us encourage one another. And again, the words here in Greek, encourage one another, is urge, exhort, or even comfort. So there's times maybe when some of our members, some of our number, some of our family are hurting, that while encouraging one another isn't just jolting them to do work, but actually coming along and helping them when times are difficult and sore. So let us encourage one another. Let us help each other. Let us in Ballywillan treat each other with dignity, respect, and care. In all our shades of opinion, in matters of church, we are family. Cue for a disco song. But let's care for each other. Let's support each other. Mark Twain once said, one compliment can keep me going for a whole month. Derek Bingham wrote a great little book called Don't Wait Till He's Dead. And then the little tagline was, everybody needs encouragement now. And very often what we do is at the funeral service, we say nice things, but we don't do it when we're alive. We are family, fellowship, careful, corporately, let us spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us keep meeting together. Don't get lazy. Actually, at times, whenever we drift from churches, maybe very often the time we need to be at church, be it Sunday morning service, be it home group, be it prayer meeting, be it Wednesday morning coffee, whatever it be, just to be there for each other. Let us encourage each other. Let us say kind words that build each other up and help each other. Spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not give up meeting together. Let us encourage one another. The last three of the eight, is about discipleship. And maybe it's maybe wrong to use the word spiritually, but this is more about warfare. It's more about living our faith. I have a wee question for you first. What comes between Hebrews chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 12? Not a trick question, although for me it could be, the way I'm going this morning with my maths. Hebrews chapter 11. What's Hebrews chapter 11 about? Okay, faith. Okay, so, and it's known as the Great Hall of Faith, Hall of Fame. All these people who served the Lord. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. So, who is that great cloud of witnesses? Okay, talk to me as well as Christine. The faithful William, good. So the people we've read about, Christine says, all those heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11, since we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. It's a spiritual battle, spiritual warfare, but it needs and takes determination. Let us get rid of the hindrances. It's a picture of wrestling, a picture of grappling. It's almost like decluttering our lives. What are the things in our lives that need to be thrown off? What is the sin that so easily entangles? And little subtle, almost inconsequential things that creep into our lives that get a foothold and need to be dealt with. Let's wrestle with them, spiritually fighting a disciplined life to get rid of them. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let's declutter. Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. If let us throw off everything that hinders is a picture of hindrance, run with perseverance is a picture of endurance. It needs grit, determination. There's a cost and commitment. Again, as we'll see in the athletics, maybe over the next while, these guys don't get there by accident. There's grit and determination in their preparation and their discipline as an athlete. For you and I, following Jesus, there needs to be grit and determination in our running with perseverance. It's hard at times. And we're to grapple with the sin that creeps into our lives that so easily entangles, and we have to throw it off. Again, that picture of a wrestler grappling some big lad in your back. Giant haystacks and Big Daddy, for those of us that remember. You know, you get rid of them, you struggle, you fight, you wrestle. Let us throw off the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance. And then our gaze. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter. And that's our focus. There's the hindrances. There's the need for endurance, but there's the focus. The one we follow, that we, you know, if the person you follow, you have to keep your eyes on them. How many of us have been there, and parents as parents in the supermarket when we lose our wee ones and we can't put our eyes on them anymore? But if we're following the Good Shepherd, we need our gaze to be clear. We need our focus on him, remembering that he is the author. He's the source of our faith. Remember that he is the perfecter. And that's a picture of sanctification. Not that you're made perfect, job done, but that it's a work in progress. And he is the one who makes us holy, who sanctifies us. So let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Ignore the last point. Let us worship. Make a commitment that our lives are lives of worship, that our personal life, our quiet devotion, whatever that looks like for you, for me it will never be at 7 o'clock in the morning, but that at my heart's desire I want to spend time in the day with Jesus, quietly, personally, because the secret of all victory lies in the organization of the non-obvious. Gordy, what about your quiet life? Worship personally, let us do that. Let us work corporately. And not to get all emotional, but in Ballywillan, a bit like Nike, just do it. Stop waiting for somebody else. Just do it. And whether you're the mouse, whether you're the young boy from next door, whether you're the little old man or the little old lady, start hauling at that turnip. And together it can be done. Let's work corporately. And let's wrestle spiritually, because this is a battle. And we're called to serve, and we're called to struggle and to fight and to throw off that sin that for every one of us is a daily battle. So let us wrestle. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Helen Keller, blind and deaf lady, wrote this: "I long to accomplish a great and noble task, but my chief duty is to accomplish humble tasks as though they were great and noble." Isn't that great? "I long to accomplish a great and noble task, but my chief duty is to accomplish humble tasks as though they were great and noble. Then goes on to say this: "The world is moved along, not only by the mighty shoves of its heroes, Hebrews chapter 11, but also by the aggregate of the tiny pushes of each honest worker." Maybe that's a thinker for you. "The world is moved along not only by the mighty shoves of its heroes, but also by the aggregate of tiny pushes of each honest worker." The little old man, the dog, the cat, the mouse, the boy from next door, the girl from next door, the little old lady, all together got the job done. And that's what we're called to do in serving Jesus. Let us. Two words, five letters. Let is positive, is hopeful. Dreams, dreams. Us is about working together. Like the little old lady and the little old man and all their chums from next door. Because we are the body of Christ, and each one of us is a part of it. And so if there's anything I can say on my last Sunday, let us, maybe the band want to jump up because we're going to experiment, taking a risk here. Andrew, would you put up the chorus of Oh How Good It Is, please? So with one voice we will sing to the Lord. With one heart we will live out his word till the whole earth sings or sees the Redeemer has come, for he dwells in the presence of his people. This is one of the new Getty songs, but it's about family. It's about together. And it's about caring for each other when it hurts. It's about supporting each other in the struggle and the fight of faith. I want to use this as a response to what I've shared this morning from Hebrews 10 and 12. We're going to try and start on a company. Can you go back one slide, Andrew? Sorry for torturing you. This is the risk. We're going to do this without music for the first little bit. Can we stand together? Robert's going to keep me right here. So with one voice
we'll sing to the Lord, and with one heart we'll live out his word till the whole earth sees the Redeemer has come, for he dwells in the presence of his people.
That was mighty singing. Apologies, Ian, I pressed the wrong pedal there. For just as we take a moment to worship the Lord with our morning offering, we'd just like to sing a song, I suppose. A song called Farther On. And it's maybe a wee bit emotional, but it's a song about God's faithfulness whenever the journey takes us somewhere else. So we worship God with our morning offering.
Let's pray together.
Father, we thank you for that faithful love of yours which leads us. And in response to your love, Lord, we bring our gifts, We pray once more that you would bless and use them in your service for your glory. But we give you to the rest of our journeys, wherever those journeys may take us. And we pray that in those journeys you would bless and use us for your glory. Lord, this week again we lift to you our Summer Soul event. We thank you for all of the organization and planning that has gone into it. And we pray for good numbers to come along. We pray for safety. We pray for some good weather. But most of all, we pray for the work of your Holy Spirit to be evident amongst our young people this week. Lord, may your blessing be upon this. Lord, again, bowed before you, we thank you that you call us to be family, to be community. And so as a family does, we remember just other family members for whom life is tough at the moment. People who struggle with illness. Folks who are having treatment, recovering from surgery. Family members whose hearts are heavy and breaking. Those who are not sure what the future holds for them. Lord, all these we bring to you, and we pray that together we may be family, loving and caring for each other. But over all of that, may we know the unfailing love of our Heavenly Father, who leads us and guides us, and in Jesus Christ walks with us on our journeys. Lord, as we are bowed here in the silence, we bring our own prayers to you.